We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor at Brookside. And if you would like to listen to the past broadcasts concerning activities to develop a heart for God, or this one, or in any one in the future, feel free to just check us out at www.thewordforlife.org. And all of our broadcasts can be found there for downloading and listening to at a later date, or maybe even someone that you know of that you'd like to have listen to these broadcasts. You can mention this address to them. We've been talking about activities that my three sons put together to develop a heart for God in our home when they were young people and children in the home. And number eight is to visit mission fields. They said, "Dad, Mom, when you made it possible for us to visit mission fields and even went on trips with us to mission fields, we began to see what God was doing in other areas and what God could do and how God could use us as participants of what God was doing." And even my youngest son, who is serving on the mission field in São Paulo, Brazil, was able to say when he finally arrived in the field that he had visited 13 various mission fields by the time he was 23 years old. And what a privilege it was for him to just see what God was doing and help to develop a heart for God. Number nine, they said when we opened our home to visiting missionaries and Christian college students, it helped them to get personally acquainted with missionaries and see that they're really neat people. And Christian college students, and help them to be able to ask personal questions about Christian colleges and what it's like to whet an appetite to go to a Christian college. Then they said, number 10, when we arranged for them to spend a summer on staff of a Christian camp, what a blessing that was. Yes, while they're in college, they desperately needed money in the summer to get ready to go to college next year, but we wanted at least one summer to be spent working at a Christian camp and serving the Lord in that way. And so we arranged for that to happen for them. And then number 11, we sent them to a Christian camp each year when they were juniors and junior high and senior high, because we believe that decisions are often made that are lasting decisions at a Christian camp. In fact, it was at a Christian camp that I made my decision for full-time Christian service. God called me back into His will at a Christian camp. And so many times it's those kinds of activities. So they said, when you sent us there, of course, we helped them to earn the money and enable them to have the funds to do so. But that was a part of our developing a heart for God. Then number 12, I had just something that every once in a while I would do. And they said that it really helped them to develop a heart for God. I would ask them two questions just alone on their bed at night. They'd be in bed and I'd walk in and I'd say, "Is everything okay between you and me?" And the second question was, "Is everything okay between you and the Lord?" Now, if the answer to the first question was not good, then I never asked the second question until the first question was finally settled. "Is everything okay between you and me?" And sometimes they'd say, "Yeah," which meant no. And so I would probe and say, "Wow, that doesn't sound like it. Well, it's okay, Dad. You know, don't worry about it." "Well, no, I'm not going to worry about it, but if there's something there that," and I would probe until finally they would say, "Well, there is this." And often it was a disappointment that they'd experienced because of me, or maybe something that I didn't even know about, or maybe something that I knew about and it just kind of slipped away. But if everything's not okay between me and them, they're not going to open up to discuss anything in their lives. And so as I had the opportunity to learn what it was and ask for forgiveness, and they would grant it, then, and only then, could I ask them, "Is everything okay between you and the Lord?" And often they would say, "I'm struggling in this area." We'd get together to talk about that later. Number 13, they said, "We made our home welcome to our friends." And you know, that's what we tried to do. Yeah, it takes a lot of Cokes and potato chips and pizza and all these kinds of things, but we would rather have our children and their friends at our house than our children at somebody else's home, and we don't know where they are or what they're doing or what their friends are like. So we made them feel at home with their friends. Then number 14, I determined when they became teenagers that I was going to take each one of the boys alone to a Sunday morning breakfast. Now, of course, you know I'm a pastor, and so that meant we had to go a little bit early, but I'd let them choose where they wanted to go to breakfast, what they wanted to order, steak and eggs or whatever, and what they wanted to talk about. And those were their personal times alone with Dad, and how important those were. Number 15, the family devotions were talks at the supper table. Now, we tried other types of devotions, but the best thing that worked for us was just to listen to each one of our children as they would talk about what happened during the day and what their friends did and you know, what they experienced in good decisions, poor decisions. And then I just reach over and get my Bible and I'd say, do you think the Bible says anything about that? And that became our family devotions. And they simply said, the fact that you used what we were going through on a daily basis to be the foundation for family devotions helped us to prepare a heart for God and to know that God's word truly was applicable. Then number 16, be transparent. When you make a mistake, admit it. And let's face it, we all make mistakes. So we all have to be transparent, and we have to admit it. Number 17, they said, the fact that you were willing to restructure wrong relationships. Restructure wrong relationships. There were times that I would have to say to one of my boys, are you helping that friend to become more godly? Is that friend helping you to become more godly? And if the answer to one of those two questions was no, or maybe both of the questions was no, then I would say, well, then are you good for each other right now at this time? Do you make your friends to become more godly? Do they help you to become more godly? Are you really good for each other at this time? Now, notice how I said it, at this time. How vitally important it is for them to understand that friendships are often the foundation for poor choices of activities whether they get into trouble or whether they do something constructive. It's friends. And so we as parents have to help them to restructure wrong relationships. And so they said, the fact that you did that, Dad, helped us to develop a heart for God, even though there were times we didn't really appreciate it while it was taking place. Then number 18, they said, you taught us by your example how to be generous with God. How to be generous with God. You know, our kids are watching what we do with our finances. They're watching what we do with our things, with our possessions. They're watching how we respond when things that we own may be damaged. Do we respond in anger and frustration? Or do we look at things that are damaged maybe by people who have been in our homes and we laughingly say, well, those are love marks. Those are marks made by people that we love who have visited our home. But they learn to be generous with what God has given them by watching us be generous with what God has given us. And so as they listen to us discuss people who have needs and become a part of meeting those needs, we remembered as a family, finding out about a family would have no Christmas. And so they decided they wanted to give some of their toys to the children in that family, so that they would have some toys to open up. And what a joy that was to, as a family, visit in that home and watch them open those gifts and the joy on their faces, because they didn't just give gifts that were broken or that they didn't use anymore. They gave their favorite gifts because they wanted to do what God does for us, and that's give the best. And so they said, you taught us by example how to be generous with God. Then number 19, schedule a time with each one of them to talk about sexual information, sex information. They said, Dad, you sat down and talked with us. And yes, I took each one of them on a little trip overnight, and it was a fishing trip or whatever it was, at a cabin, and had them read a book ahead of time. And then we talked about these types of things because I wanted them to hear it from me. I wanted them to know what the Bible had to say, as opposed to what their friends had to say and what the media had to say and what the world had to say. And so they said, the fact that you scheduled time to talk with us and answer our questions, I did it when they turned 12. I think I probably would do it a bit earlier than that if I were to be rearing young people today. And then number 20, establish a restriction and rehabilitation program for them when they temporarily fail. They will fail. But when they temporarily fail, be there with them and establish a rehab program. In other words, get into the Word of God with them and help them to identify areas of weakness and what caused them maybe to fail, and so they can become stronger in that area. And sharing with them that restrictions maybe that you put on them are for their good. It's kind of like a cast on a broken arm. The design of the cast is to make that arm stronger than ever before. Yes, it's going to be inconvenient for a period of time, and it's going to be hot, and it's not going to be fun to have, but the goal is not present. The goal is future. And so to develop a heart for God, there are times that you have to have restrictions, that you have to help them to understand that restrictions are designed to strengthen them in areas where they're weak. Now, a horse that breaks his leg, he won't keep a restriction on his leg. He'll knock it on the fence until it breaks off, and the horse will never be the same. The same thing is true with a rebellious young person. And so consequently, we have to help them to understand these restrictions are for your good, not just my good. They're for your good. And they said that when you were willing to help us on a daily basis go through a time of rehab and get our hearts back right with the Lord and back right with you and Mom, and even have some restrictions for us in the areas of our weakness, that showed us how much you loved us and how much you cared about our future and enabled us to understand that God isn't done with us. You know, one of the sweetest verses in the book of Job is just a verse that refers to God just working in Job's life even when he's arguing and fussing. But God didn't give up on Job. And remember Jonah. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. How sweet that is. Now, that's the way we as parents need to be. We need to be willing to take a child who has, yes, temporarily failed, and bring them back to ourselves, and kind of like the shepherd does with that sheep that's gone astray. The shepherd will sometimes break the sheep's leg and then cast it and then carry that sheep over his shoulders day after day after day after day until the sheep is able to walk again. And they say that when a sheep has gone through that, he's heard the heartbeat of that shepherd on a daily basis. He's heard the voice of that shepherd. He knows the heart of his shepherd. That sheep will never again wander away from that shepherd because he knows the heart of his shepherd now. That's what we want for our children. That's what you want for your children, to develop a heart for God. If we can be a help to you, please contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, or contact us on the website, www.thewordforlife.org. We're here to help you. If you don't have a church that you're actively attending, we'd love to have you join us. And just come and see how God can use this ministry to be a blessing to you and your family. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.